Hey, John, I'm going to let them, I'm going to do the announcement stuff at the end. Is that all right? All right, guys, if a couple more filter in, they'll filter in, and we will roll with that. Quick review. Let me ask you this real quick. How many of you remember the first, how many of you are here the first week? Raise your hands. All right. The first week, successful people, they learn how, they do this more than most people. They have the ability to focus. They do. They have the ability to focus. Then last week, we talked about one of the greatest qualities to be able to have to succeed. It starts with an A. You can anticipate. And it's so cool to me. This past week, it kind of popped up this last week, but it reminded me that this material did come from all those sources, but I applied it first and foremost with my two sons. I'm like, you want to be successful? You've got to learn to make these decisions and learn to be able to focus, which means priority, and we went through all that. But my daughter, 18-year-old, she came in my office, and she got home from school, and I said, how's it going? Great. And she's a young woman, so she's like this emotionally, and she's laughing and great, gives me a hug, and then I'm like, so how was school? And she starts tearing up, and I'm like, okay, you can't laugh and then cry a minute later, and she laughs at me, and she goes, oh, I'm so overwhelmed, and I know that I got to do this, and I'm like, okay. I said, well, you're probably, and she tells me this long story about the project she has for the year, and she's overwhelmed with that and overwhelmed with this. And I said, well, it sounds like you need to just learn to anticipate a little bit more. I said, all that, anticipate what you need to do when you need to do it. And we talked through that for like 2 minutes. And then she goes, okay, like this, like I know that this test is until the end of next week, so I can start studying for that this time. I'm like, exactly. And I said, and your senior project is not due until spring. So don't worry about those big details right now. And I said, where are you in that? She told me, I was like, you're doing great. I said, just learn to anticipate and plan and get your planner out. She's like, okay. I said, because here's the deal. Whenever you feel anxious, there's a really good chance that you're not anticipating. And the more I anticipate, the lower my anxiety will be. And she's like, oh. So for the rest of the week, she was just like, I started feeling anxious. And then I just wrote it down. I'm like, you know what? I'm learning to anticipate better. And I'm like, wow. And it gives them a word to just kind of get their mind around and get focused on. And like, wow, that was just really confirmation to me that it works in every area. So this week, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag here a little bit. So I did this material corporately for about 2 years before somebody came up to me and they said, wow, that's a really great acronym. And I was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, it spells a word. And I'm like, what? And it never even dawned on me. So you just focus, anticipation, and tonight is an I. And I can't wait to do this. Successful people decide to take what? Initiative. Very good. Oh, did he put it up there already? No, you guys got that. That's good. And he'll put it up there so you'll learn how to spell it. It took me 3 weeks to learn how to spell it. I-N-I-T-I-A-T-I-N-V. V-E, no N, initiative. Decide to take initiative. And we're going to look at, we're going to really unpack initiative and how we really get to that point of embodying it. I have had companies, I mean, in a consulting basis, they said, if you can come up with an assessment of 20 questions or less that we can give potential employees that will identify whether they have naturally or decide to take initiative, you can make $1 million. And I was like, really? And they're like, yeah. Number one quality as an employer, I need people who can take initiative. And I'm like, wow, that's validation. And I haven't been able to come up with those questions yet. But it really is true, because here's the deal. Initiative is not passive. And if there's one quality I see emerging in our society and being validated, is passivity. Just sit back. We'll send you a check. You don't have to go to work. Don't worry about that. We're going to take care of you. It's like, this is not going to sustain forever. Passivity is the road to disaster, basically. And yet, taking initiative is not natural. It's natural to be passive, to take a step back and go, not my problem, not my issue. But those who are really successful have an unnatural ability to just take that initiative. In most areas of life, we have to learn to take initiative. We have to learn to take initiative. And if you have your books on page 11, is that right? Page 11 is where we are. Because, and he's going to leave those up there, and you got the word at the top for this middle one. Those who are successful in any area of life make the uncommon decision to take initiative. To take initiative. And what I'm going to share is what I've kind of noticed in those who are exceptional at initiative. And usually those who are exceptional at initiative have some of these same qualities that we're going to talk about that develop from taking initiative and how that works. But the last point before the first question is this. Initiative does not need to ask permission nor seek recognition. Pure initiative is not looking for a pat on the back. Pure initiative is saying, whether you ask me or not, I don't care. I'm going to do this. And my favorite example was the pivotal point in my adult life of learning this word. My daughter had just been diagnosed with cancer. Our whole world was turned upside down. We're trying to figure out doctors and trying to figure out the protocol coming up, and our world was upside down. And what I was stunned at were these people that stepped up. Now, I'm a nice guy, and when I say this, I meant it. If I saw you were struggling with something, I would say, hey, I'll be praying for you, and if you need anything, let me know. And I really meant that, and I really would do that. But then when I went through this issue with my daughter, I realized when I was in the midst of the chaos that was that world, the last thing you want to do is pick up a phone and go, hey, can you help me with this item or whatever? You're just not thinking about it. And it's just easier to get through it than to ask for help. But I noticed all these pieces were getting done, which blew my mind, that my sons would have a project at school and some other mom would just come alongside, help them out, get them what they needed, help them, and it got done. It was my friend Royce. I'll call him Royce because that was his name. And Royce stopped by my house about 2 weeks into treatment. And he said, hey, I'm sorry about your daughter. We're praying for you. And I thought, he's like me. He's got my heart, good-hearted. But he took that step. He said, hey, I just wanted to let you know, I've got crews in this area. He owns a landscaping company. So I just want you to know, we're doing your yard this year. So just don't even think about it. We're going to do your yard. And I was like, man, if you could just do it, you know, once for me and let me catch my breath on this. He's like, yeah, well, we're going to do it every week. I got crews in this area. We're going to do it every week. And I said, well, you know, if you do it for a week or two. And he says, yeah, you're really not getting this. We're doing your yard this year. Because he had the foresight to think, man, you're going to go through something that you have no idea how hard it's going to be. And what he did give me an incredible yard for a year, but he gave me time that I didn't realize I was not going to have. And that was just two examples of people that just stepped up over and over. Every Monday, somebody found out that we go to clinic on Mondays. For 2 years, every Monday, dinner was just there. At our house, somebody organized, I didn't even know it was such a thing as a food train, a meal train, and somebody organized it and followed up, and I don't even know to this day who it was, but they did, because, and I was like, this is different. I want to be like this. When all this is over, I want to be like this, and I look for needs now, not to ask permission, and if you can do it without even getting recognition, it's even better. But to just say, hey, you don't even need to spend the energy to say thank you. I just want to meet this need. Taking that initiative is huge. So the first two questions here, I want to answer in two ways. One, if you did anything from last week about anticipating, you know what? I took that to heart, and I planned out my week. I anticipated some things. Share any anticipations that you did, and then answer these two questions. Give an example of a time when someone took the initiative to meet a need or help you with something in your life. What effect did it have on you? Okay, and then the second question, can you think of a time when you took the initiative with a project or a person and it paid off? And I'll prime that pump. It dawned on me, I guess, when I was in college and I started helping out with some little league areas that, man, I didn't realize how much time coaches volunteered to do that. And I can name you several coaches that made a huge impact on my life. And it so impacted me that I thought, you know what? Then I noticed, well, what are all the other dads doing? And I thought, I want to be the dad that's doing, not evaluating and complaining. I want to be the doer. Because what are they going to do? Fire you from a rec coach job? So I wanted to have an impact. And I realized that taking initiative as a coach. So that's just one example. Go around the tables, introduce yourselves, because there may be somebody new, and anything about anticipation, and then those two questions. You got 10 minutes to do it. This one, this will be one of the longer discussions. So you got 10 minutes, go, and we will jump back into the details of initiative. Go. Okay, this will be one of the few times that I ask you guys for some feedback. Be thinking. Thinking of one that stuck out in your mind, either that you experienced somebody took initiative with you or that you decided to take initiative and it left it out. And I want to start with the online guys here. Either of you guys have an example of either of those, some that initiative helped you or you saw a benefit of taking initiative?
Yeah, Greg has one. He's going to share with you.
Way to pass it off. That was good.
So my friend from high school, he lives in Knoxville, Tennessee, building his own house. And in order to get his certificate of occupancy, he had a huge deck he had to build. And I knew that was going to take up a lot of time. And he wanted to get this to be able to get into the house. So I called him up and I just said, Jim, how about if I come down for the weekend and help you knock that thing out? And so between myself and then another friend that was local, Jim, he was one that he had to do all the measurements and cut the board, so he couldn't blame us. And then we assembled and we knocked it out, but it was a huge undertaking. But it taught me something, and it was great to just be with him and took care of it.
Okay, so confirm or deny this one for me, Greg. As you were doing that, did you get the feeling of, wow, I'm not responsible necessarily, but you just get in awe of, like, yeah, he really couldn't have done this without the help. And it just, how did it feel? Can you put a word on the feeling of that?
Just gratifying.
Good word. Yeah, that's a good word. Asking a man to have a feeling, that was a challenge. I know. So that was exceptional, actually. Any other tables? I do want to go to each table. Something that stuck out, either initiative that was taken on for you and affected you, or one that you were able to take. That was a phenomenal example of taking that initiative. This table here, we're going to go all the way around. Okay, Daniel. Wow. So you got a coworker that said, man, this kid really doesn't know what he's doing. And instead of going, hate to be him, he stepped up and went, hey, Let me walk you through this. Can I just kind of come alongside? That's massive. And that's so unusual. That is not natural. How about you guys over there? What stuck out? Anything? That's awesome. So your son is going to be expecting the same thing now. Thanks for sharing that. That's awesome. No, that's really cool. There is something about a father. My father-in-law spoke over me when I was about to get engaged, and that he took the initiative to say, hey, I see who you are. You're a great man, and I believe in you. Just those words sometimes can be amazing. Table back here, either experienced it or took the initiative. What do you got? Speak loudly, yes. Wow. Just a guy. Isn't that cool that you think of initiative and a name comes to your mind? I don't want you to raise your hands, but how many would you say, how many of you have a friend that if they have a need, you're the first person that comes to their mind to help? And how many of you own a truck? Just curious. No, okay. That's that's awesome. How about you guys? Anything either side of that? Okay. Oh, wow. Wow, so it does pay off. All right, so that's good. That's really cool. That's an awful, yeah. It means a lot, doesn't it? Yeah, we were talking about that at dinner tonight. And I was just saying the night before I had open heart surgery, a buddy of mine shows up and found out later. He said, yeah, my wife said, where are you going? He says, well, I'm going to go see Ken. She goes, oh, I saw him today. She goes, how long are you going to be? And he said, I have no idea. He said, I may be there 5 minutes. I may be there all night. I don't know. And that just kind of a friend of just knowing somebody cares is monumental. I think we did those. How about you guys? Either side of that equation, anything stick out? They all stole your thunder, right? They got the truck thing. How about you guys? How about the cool table? Got it. That's huge. That's huge. Yeah, it's easy to take that stuff for granted, but that's an exceptional one. I want you to make a note of this, and I want to maybe even encourage you to memorize this simple phrase at the bottom of this page, because when we think of initiative, we think of big, heroic efforts. But the bottom line is this: the smallest action is greater than the grandest intention. To just do something, period. If I see a need, it doesn't mean that I have to be the total solution for it. It may be just a part of it. Which leads us to the next page and the four discoveries about initiative. Initiative can be, it can be reactive. It can be reactive. And one of the greatest ways to do that in a really cool way is to ask God to show you needs around you. Then ask what you can give the resources, given the resources you have, what you can do given the resources you have. The idea of this gentleman said, hey, here's a kid really struggling with his new job. Well, I can't do his job for him, but I can come alongside. I can show him the ropes. I can be an advisor to him and walk him through that. What can I do? Because here's the deal. Go through these three. What kind of time do I have? Do I have the talent to help? And or is it going to cost me financially in the process? And is that within my means? And which part can I do? And I love that example because it's like, you know what? It's not going to cost me a lot out of pocket. It may cost me a lunch to encourage the guy. But talent, he's got the same job. So I've got a little bit of a resource there. And then time. It's just going to cost me a little bit of extra time that I'd be hanging out by a coffee machine anyway. So taking that is reactive to a need that we see around us. Secondly, initiative can be proactive. Consider how God demonstrates proactive initiative on our behalf. This is the greatest initiative in the history of the universe. And that is found in Romans 5:8. That God demonstrates his own love to us while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God looked down in timeless universe before we were even born, and he said, you know what? They're creation, they're going to choose to sin, and they're going to need help. And I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to love them, and I'm going to pay the price for that before they're even born. And he took the initiative to do that. That's the ultimate initiative. So here it is. Rather than waiting for the need to come up or waiting to be asked, God took the initiative to make the relationship possible with each of us. He did that by coming where we live as God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, and taking the penalty for all the ways we did not live up to our own standards, let alone God's perfect standard. Why? Because of his love for us. That act of love of just going, you know what, you may never be able to pay me back. I'm not even going to think of that. I'm just going to do this. Because here's the really cool part. Initiative can be very contagious. When somebody takes that initiative, and I'll give the example of coaches so impacted my life, I wanted to be a coach when I got old enough. And I loved coaching and helping others. I was humbled in a big way. Imagine going through your regular day and then not even 24, so it was like 30 hours later, I'm laying in bed about to have an open heart surgery. And it was humbling. The doctor told me, do you have your affairs in order? You got about a coin toss chance of making it. And I was working through all that emotionally and mentally. And I did not tell anybody about this. I brought the two ladies that worked for me and I'm like, you know, call these guys, see if they want these dates. call all the people that I had events with coming up to one of the busiest months of my career. And I'm like, I just watched it go. But as I look through my calendar and I'm given those tour, I saw one event is one of the largest corporate events I was ever going to do. And I'd worked on it for over a year and a half. And it was like 2 weeks later and I was going to miss it. And I'll just be transparent with you. I'm looking at that going, I worked a long time and that was going to be a month maker. That was a payday. And I'm like, Lord, thank you that they caught this. But I'm just bummed that that money's gone. And within 10 seconds, my wife came in and she went, oh my gosh, this is so neat. And I was like, what are you talking about? She said, and she named a friend of ours. She started a GoFundMe page for you. And I'm like, what's a GoFund page? And she's like, no, a GoFundMe. And I'm like, what is that? She said, well, they can set it up and people can just donate to help with expenses. And I'm like, wow. She handed me her phone. Now, this is within 60 seconds of me having that thought. And the first amount on there was the exact amount, a very large sum from one person anonymously that had just given that amount. And I just went, I mean, you can imagine that just wrote indelibly on my heart. Now, to tie those two together, I now love when I hear about a need. I can't give huge amounts, but I can do something. And I just said, Lord, anytime I hear a need and there's a way to give, I'm giving, period. You figure out how you want to replenish it, but I'm in. And it's just a habit, and it's very contagious to want to do that and be that way. I love this statement. The next time you see a situation, find yourself thinking, somebody ought to do something. Realize you are somebody. Then go do something. And it doesn't have to be big. Again, it can just be something. And I coined this phrase. I was asked to help out with this little church during COVID. They lost their pastor, and it was just a train wreck of a place. And I told them going in, one of the first Sundays, I'm like, listen, there is no they to do anything. The staff is basically gone or already spread too thin. And I made this statement, and it became kind of an ongoing statement. I said, everybody can't do everything, but everybody can do something. I said, so when we make announcements, we don't expect everybody to do it. But we expect somebody to God just go, hey, you can do that. Do something. And we just started in that way. And one of my favorite, I shared this, I don't know if it was the last men's session, the one before that, but I've got a really good friend. His name's Chuck Shaheen, and he's the mayor in Warner Robins, Georgia. This town in middle Georgia is a pretty sizable little town. And we were playing golf. I went through it, and we went to college together playing golf. I'm like, dude, you're a mayor. How cool is that? And he's like, worst mistake of my life. And I was like, what do you mean? He said, well, the mayor before me says, I love Warner Robins. We've had a business here, my family. But, man, the guy before me was embezzling. He's in prison now. And it was just this hurricane of problems. He says, the first day I'm in my office, there's a line of people wanting to come in and talk to me. And he said, after about the third person, I told my secretary, hey, give me 5 minutes. He said, Ken, I got behind my desk and he said, God help. What do I do? And he said, I think this was divine. And he said, I had, from that day, the first week, I had over 300 meetings and people come in. And he says, now I want you to do me a favor. And he said, I started doing this. He says, thanks for coming in. I really look forward to hearing everything that you have to say, but I need you to do me a favor. I want you to point at me while you're telling me. And he said, he said, and they'd point. He said, some of them got really intense. Other ones just kind of start dropping their fingers. Said, no, keep pointing. And they'd tell me, they said it was odd for them, but they'd do it. And he says, at the end of every one of them, I would say, you know what? You are absolutely right. I agree with you. He says, but I need to ask you one question. And they said, okay. He says, how many of your fingers are pointing back at you? And they're like, well, three. He says, here's what I need you to do, because here's the deal. You have got a great grasp on that problem. You may find this hard to believe. I know the problems. I just don't have the solutions. So I need you to come up with three solutions to that problem. Come back this time next week And you and I are going to talk about those solutions, decide which one's best, and we are going to figure out how we are going to do that. And he said he did that 300 times. He says, Ken, you know how many people came back? One. One person came back. He said, everybody's all about telling you what's wrong, but not about taking the initiative to do something about it. And I said, what was the one? He said, man, this lady's unbelievable. All she needed was somebody to go, you're right. What are we going to do? And she said, she had a plan. He said, how can I help? She said, I'll let you know, but I think I got it. And he said, it's one of the most successful areas in their town. Because it's so rare. But to just do something. So everybody can't do everything, but everybody can do something. Top of the next page. Initiative is mostly a decision to change our mindset. It goes from they to we or me. Changing our mindset. It starts by deciding to reach your or our potential. Deciding to reach our potential. You know what, God? I can tell you everything I'm not. You want to read the Bible? I want you to, when you do, if it brings up a character, look at how many times those guys were just unbelievably qualified. You're going to find never, maybe one. And he was like, all of my qualifications mean nothing. It's not my ability, it's my availability. And if I want to see God work, it's like, Lord, I know I can't do this, but what do you want me to do? What step do you want me to take and do something? And I love this. Jesus once told a story, and it's in Matthew 25, about a king who gives his kingdom as an inheritance to the people who took the initiative to serve others. The righteous in these verses below. Notice how they weren't motivated by reward, but the simply doing something to help others around them. Look at this passage. I love this one. This is actually in red if you look it up in Matthew, because Jesus is speaking. He says, then the righteous will say to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or need clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? And Jesus is saying, hey, you did it to this. And he says this, and the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did it for me. And that's God's call to us. He's like, you want to experience fullness of life? Look at the needs around you. Be thankful that you have the opportunity to do something, and then just do something. Do anything. So the third question, and I want you to go around the table. We're about five to 7 minutes on this one. As a group, come up with one way you can take initiative in these two areas, family and either friends or neighbors. So what's one way you can take initiative with family or friends and neighbors? And then if and when you get done with that one, now name one to three more areas of everyday life where taking a small step of initiative can make a big difference. So if you get that first one, okay, we got one or two there. Try to think of one to three everyday ways of life that taking a small step of initiative can make a big difference. And then I'm going to tell you the secret after that. You got 5 to 7 minutes. Go. All right, this time around, it's going to be voluntary. Voluntary answer either of those questions. As a group, come up with one way we can take initiative in these areas. Family, I'll give you an example. You got one? With your family, you're taking the initiative how? You took four family members home? Oh, four of those home. Okay, good. Okay. You're taking the, just kind of lead them through that. That's awesome. That's the fast track, right? That's great. He shared about that this morning. So you're taking the initiative with family. Mine was, I really thought through it, was just, and God convicted me of this, the way to show initiative is to be interrupted. And not just give a quick answer, but be interrupted with my kids and embrace that. And my kids are older now, so it's not like they're running up with a train every 3 seconds. But just be interrupted and plug in with that. How about you guys? What'd you come up with, family or friends or neighbors? Anything there? Yeah. Wow. That's huge. So know the neighbors' names. Now, see, that's kind of natural for women, though, so that's not really fair. Cork boards and red strays, yeah. My wife totally busted me on that because I waved everywhere. We're on the main road in our neighborhood, and I'll just wave, and we're walking one day. She goes, "You don't even know who that is." And I was like, "It's my neighbor. You know, I see him drive by here all the time." But I have gotten better. And the other piece that I want to be proactive in this, so if anybody ever mentions anything, whether at the pool or whether it's in walking their dogs, and I did take the initiative to do this. I keep dog treats in my pocket anytime I walk out to the mailbox because, man, people are walking by our house with their dogs all the time. I'm like, "Hey, can I give them a treat?" And they're like, "Sure." And so dogs will now walk by our house and just slow down and look at the house. It's hysterical. They really do. But I've gotten to know my neighbors that way. Well, I would offer them one. They just don't like the meaty treats the dogs eat. But they've realized, and I've actually seen this a couple times, because when they mention anything that's going on, I'm like, "Oh, my gosh, when are we doing that?" We had a neighbor, her husband left her, and she has Winnie the dog, and the dog just loves our house. And she was just like, "Yeah, I've got some sod being delivered Saturday." I'm like, "Oh, cool. When are we putting it in? I used to sod yards." And she goes, "Well, you don't have to do that." And I'm like, "You're not going to let me help?" And she's like, "Well, I mean, you can," but I'm like, "When are we doing it? And I'll bring the boys and we'll," and she's like, "Really?" And I'm like, "Of course. Yes, really. I'm in town. I want to be a part of that." And it's just like they now know, man, I want to be known as the most generous, initiative-taking person in the neighborhood. Like, you got a problem, you walk your dog, come by, tell me about it, and we'll go take care of it. I want to be that person. So with neighbors, I think just getting to know their names is huge. My wife, oh my word. She's very people-oriented. When we moved in the neighborhood, she said, it was about a third built. She said, every time they finish an house and sell it, we're going to go meet them, we're going to take them muffins, and we're going to give them a little phone list of a mechanic and our doctor and this. And I was like, what a great idea. And we did that. I would say half of them were like, "Oh, okay." And there's got to be like, "You people are just really weird." And I was like, "Hey, eat the muffins. I don't care, you know, just." But half of them within a week called my wife. She said she had, and would ask her some question. Because I don't know if you know, in our society, we're becoming more technologically advanced and less personally connected than any other society in history. And she was just like, there. So she knows everybody in our neighborhood. Any others on that one? Or the second question, name one or three areas that taking a small step of initiative can make a big difference. Any of you get to that one? Any of that pop up? You know, I'd go one further than that because I do something similar. If y'all have never seen a $2 bill, ask for one at the bank next time because it's still legal currency. You got one? From your grandfather. That's fantastic. But I would carry them, and I would use them as a tip for somebody that doesn't normally get tips. It just got brought a $2 bill. But I would just tell people, I'm like, there's the one example that I can think of. At the Atlanta airport, there's a Popeyes that on Concourse C, and there's very few places to sit. And a couple weeks in a row, I'm flying out of there, and there's this guy, I don't know how he got the job, but he would talk to the people in line saying, "Hey, are you taking it with you or do you need a place to sit?" And if they said, "Well, I'm going to try to eat it here," he says, "Hey, see me as soon as you pick it up and you get a $2 bill as well." That's awesome. He said, "See me as soon as you pick it up, we get your food and I'll have a place ready for you." And he was wiping tables and he's like, "Hey, are you guys finished with that?" And he'd clean it off. And I'm talking about a small area, the most personal guy, and he's just hustling. And he's not looking for tips. He's just working there. I'm like, this dude is amazing. And I really did think, you're not going to work here long with this type of a work ethic and personality. But I said, "Dude, here's the deal. I want you to have this. I give these to anybody who are exceptional. Because you've probably never seen one of those." And he asked me, he said, "Is it real?" And I'm like, "Yes." And I said, "But it's very rare." just like you. You are very rare. And just realize somebody appreciates that. Real money. Wow. That's amazing. So with that, if you'll flip over to page 14, the last initiative, produces two enduring qualities. When we show initiative, there's two qualities that are going to start really magnifying in our lives. In Colossians 3:23, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not man. And it really changes our motives here. And so here's the first quality is determination. When we start showing initiative, it's not natural. You may get pushback. You may have issues pop up. But here's the deal. It says it refines our motives when we show initiative. Secondly is perseverance. Perseverance. And you'll see this throughout Scripture. But in James 1, blessed is the one who perseveres under trials, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And what happens is when we show initiative, sometimes it's not going to work out the way we expected. Sometimes we may even get a negative feedback, but it just helps us in the way of persevering to do what is right, do what is good, and a lot of times it's going to be taken for granted. If you go to the store for your wife a couple times a week long enough, it might start becoming expected, and you just keep doing it. And it's a service thing, and it refines our motives. Why am I doing this? So if we want the qualities of determination and perseverance, there it is. So I want to review this real quick, take about 5 minutes. In this particular section, there's four different verses. They're all in gray. Just kind of take a look back over those and answer that last question after you've had a chance to glance back over those. Of these four verses mentioned in the session, which one is most intriguing or kind of jumps out to you today and why? Okay, which of those four verses seems more intriguing, or you just think, man, that means something because of this. Why? So go around, and if possible, each person kind of share what that is. You got about 7 minutes on this one, so you got basically a minute and a half or two, depending on how many people are at your table. So look at the verses, answer the question, and then we will wrap it up. Go. Okay, guys, we'll wrap it up this way. If you'll flip over to page 15, I want to encourage you. I don't know if you read a Bible on a regular basis, but this is one of my absolute favorite stories and examples in all the Bible. It's the first book in the Bible, Genesis, and in chapters 37 through 50 is the life of Joseph. And you don't have to know a bunch about his background or whatever, but here's the deal. Joseph is a rags-to-riches story. He was the youngest of a lot of brothers that ended up beating him up and selling him into slavery. And every time he did what was right and took the initiative, he got knocked back down, and knocked down even further than he was before. But in the midst of that, God had a plan. And I won't spoil the story. It's 13 chapters. They're very short chapters. It'll be the shortest novel you ever read, but it is an amazing story of what that is, and kind of just gives us an idea of what taking initiative can look like. Also, Horizon's got a really cool series. You can go to the app and look up the series Unshakable, and it deals with initiative and really the different pieces we've been talking about. And then try it. Pick at least one area in your life, work, family, friends, neighbors, and identify ways you can take initiative in those projects or people, especially if you can do it anonymously and or completely selflessly, and ask God. This is where it all kind of comes together, and that is week one, focus. God, show me where they are. Anticipate. How can I do this, and what resources do I have? And then just do something. It doesn't have to work out. It just do something in that area. It doesn't have to be big. Everybody can't do everything. Everybody can do something. And the smallest action is greater than the greatest intention. And then finally, the movie part, I want to just put a star by Undefeated. I've mentioned this before. Several years ago, I think it was 2016, if I'm not mistaken, this won the Academy Award for the best documentary in the country. It's a documentary about a school in Memphis. And it is one of the most incredible examples of initiative and everything we just looked at. And it's on Netflix. And just type in Undefeated. And spoiler alert, they weren't. But it works out in a way that here's this guy who takes the initiative to coach a team that was an abysmal failure. And it follows them through the year. And it is enough to make a man cry. There's one scene at the end with one of the guys that I'm just sitting there by myself crying, going, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. And I just...